Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. With our boys and girls going back to school, the question of religious exercises, such as the reading of the Bible and prayer, again comes into prominence. According to the latest information we have, it is estimated that at least 25% of the nation's public high schools have continued to hold religious exercises, indicating the tremendous importance still attached to practices that are traditional in America. This report, incidentally, is based on a survey taken among 13,000 principals. When a poll conducted by the Christian Herald, readers responded 27-1 in favor of having regular prayer and Bible reading in the public schools. And so this issue is far from being forgotten. Bishop Fulton J. Sheen recently observed, "Sometimes one must look into the future to decide what one must do in the present." He cited the illustration of the disciples who looked upon the glory of the temple in Jerusalem shining in the morning sunlight, while our Lord saw distantly not one stone standing upon another. And so Bishop Sheen asks, "What of America?" And he goes on to observe, quote, "The most momentous decision in our history, even more than our involvement in two world wars, was the decision of the Supreme Court to exile God and prayer from schools." Says Sheen, all the future chapters in American history will start here. One can foresee what is to happen. The next chapter, observes the bishop, will be the elimination of religious education altogether by taxation. This is already being prepared, he notes. The third chapter will be the taxing of churches and religious life out of existence. Well, in the fourth, religious people will affirm their liberties, protest the destruction of their constitutional rights. For as we all know, the Constitution does guarantee the free exercise of religion. But this will provoke the fifth, a chapter of persecution, because of the refusal of religion to be anti-religious. Well, there you have the forecast for the future as seen by this noted prelate, Bishop Fulton Sheen. Incidentally, we had the privilege of testifying in Washington before the House Judiciary Committee on the same day that Bishop Sheen testified on behalf of amending the Constitution so as to at least permit these practices of Bible reading and prayer. With an article in the Sunday School Times, it is pointed out that the Bible has come to be used to inspire many persons, including projects, slogans, and even ivory soap. For instance, in 1879, Harley T. Proctor, who was then sales manager for Procter & Gamble Company, went to church. His firm had just begun to manufacture a variety of soap that would float, and Mr. Proctor had been trying to think of an attractive name for it. Well, that morning while in church, the scripture reading was taken from the 45th Psalm, where in verse 8 we read, "All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad." Immediately the idea of calling this brand of soap ivory came into his mind, and meeting with members of the firm at his father's house the next night, he proposed the name. Well, needless to say, the name was accepted. That is why you buy ivory soap today, a name derived from the Bible. Well, this is just one of many incidents that could be related to illustrate how the Bible has contributed to the secular life of a multitude of ideas and projects. Newspaper editorials often utilize Bible quotes. An inspection of more than 600 newspaper editorials taken at random from the United States and Great Britain found an average of one reference to the Bible to every 9.5 editorials. The Bible shows up occasionally in advertisements of commercial products. A firm in Kentucky was preparing plans for a new plant to be constructed. This necessitated grading a certain area and approval of the building inspector. So written on the plans was Isaiah 40, verse 4. The building inspector was obliged to look into a Bible in order to understand the cryptic direction. It read, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." Another such use of the Bible is related in Time magazine. Sir Hugh Foote, who was Britain's last Governor General in Cyprus, was trying desperately to halt the war between Greek and Turkish Cypriots, when he received a cable from his father which read, see 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9. Governor Foote opened his Bible to read these words, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Well, surely here was encouragement for this colonial administrator who cabled back to his father, see Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Of course, his father turned in his Bible to read, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." We refer to these men to show how the Bible has played and does play a part in their lives. To know these distinguished men are well acquainted enough with the Scriptures to quote passages from them to express their sentiments. Sir Hugh Foote is now an advisor to the United Nations, one of Britain's most noted diplomats. We're not suggesting for a moment that the Bible should be used carelessly, accepted as a book of ethics or a religious journal of some kind. I remember meeting a person who used the Bible as some sort of fortune-telling device. She related how she debated about taking a trip, so she opened the Bible and placing her finger on the page, when she read the verse it said something to the effect, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Now I believe there are times when the Lord speaks to us through scriptures that seem to stand out in this way. But this woman made no profession of being a Christian, only using the Bible as a fortune-telling device. I do remember during the Second World War, I was studying for the ministry at the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago when I received my draft questionnaire. Before opening the letter, I went to my room and there, kneeling by my bed, I prayed, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Then, without realizing what I was doing, I opened my Bible and my eyes fell upon this verse in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord," is what I read. Well, I can't describe the electrifying effect as it seemed like the Lord had cabled this message to me directly. And I realized it was His will to study for the ministry, to stay in school. Later, when I traveled from Chicago to my home in Pennsylvania, I stopped in to see my draft board to inquire about the possibility of remaining in Bible school. They told me that they did not recognize the school as an accredited institution. And although I tried to convince them of my calling to the ministry, and I even related that I had purchased my ticket back to Chicago, they insisted that I should remain at my home, await my call into the service of the country. Well, I simply believe this promise from God's Word, that it was personally addressed to me, declaring that I would not need to fight in this battle then raging, and return back to Bible school in Chicago. My hopes were severely tried, and one day there came a postal card from my draft board that classified my status as 4D, with the classification of a divinity student, allowing me to continue to prepare for the ministry. And so there are times when I believe the Lord speaks to us directly through His Word. And surely when it comes to salvation, there is a personal message for all of us. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that means you, and that means me. Often evangelists like Moody and Billy Sunday would suggest to their audience, when they quote John 3:16, they should put their own name where it says, "Whosoever." And so what this scripture in essence is saying is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that Ray Brubaker, believing in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ah, you see, salvation thus becomes real and personal to those who will trust Christ as Savior and Lord. Well, beloved, the Word of God is a source of strength in this crisis hour, not only giving assurance of salvation through Christ, but help for daily living. Some years ago, a lady went to consult a famous New York physician about her health. She was a woman of nervous temperament. Well, after she gave the doctor a list of her symptoms, this famous physician said to her, "Go home and read your Bible an hour a day. Then come back and report in a month from now." Then he bowed her out before she could protest. Well, first she was inclined to become angry, but reflecting that the prescription was certainly not an expensive one, she went home determined to read conscientiously her neglected Bible. In a month, she returned a different person, and she asked the noted doctor how he knew this was what she needed. His reply is his own Bible lay there, well marked and open. "Madam, if I were to omit my daily reading of this book, I would lose my greatest source of strength and skill." Yes, my friends, the Bible is the Word of God, affording us not only eternal life, but strength for daily living. A neglected Bible, said F.B. Meyer, means a starved and strengthless spirit, a comfortless heart, a barren life, and a grieved Holy Spirit, declaring it to be the secret of so much profitless living today. Was it any wonder that we should be so interested in seeing the Bible given prominence in all phases of life, particularly in our educational program? It's our conviction that a person cannot be a loyal Christian and not stand up for the Bible. In fact, one of our noble justices of the past declared a person cannot be a real patriot unless he loves the Word of God. Justice Brewer once said, "He is the best patriot who loves the Bible best and teaches it to others." And if you haven't written, please write that letter today, urging the President to do what he can, either through the Congress or through the court, to permit Bible reading and prayer by students.
Will you be ready to go when the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are faced with many crowns? Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.